Chairs No Waiting, episode number 401. Locations, just the fact. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers. It's that time of year. It's Christmas time's coming. If you're listening to this live, head over there and check it out. They got the Christmas special from last year, the colorized episodes there at Weavers. Got a Johnny Lightning squad car. And, of course, the 2017 Mayberry calendar. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of episode number 401 is Sarah Blaine. Sarah, happy birthday to you. It's her birthday, and happy birthday. We already sang some songs to her, but since it's her birthday, you know, I want to go all out, and so here's Floyd.
Hail to thee, Miss Mayberry. All hail to thee, all hail.
Everybody join in.
Your loveliness, your majesty, brings joy to every male.
Sing along.
All hail, all hail, all hail, all hail. All hail, all hail, all hail, all hail. Hail to thee, Miss Mayberry. All hail to thee, all hail.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the complete version of Floyd's songs, because normally he goes, hail to thee, all hail to thee. That's all I've written so far. That's where he usually gets. So there is the completed version by Floyd Lawson. Sarah, happy birthday, and thanks for being part of the podcast. She's always here with us on the show, so and appreciate her being a executive producer tonight for episode number 401, so thank you very much. Now, today's episode, tonight's, whenever you're listening to this, we're going to be talking about locations on the Andy Griffith Show. Now, I've talked about this stuff before, that you can go over to, the website is mayberry.info. So if you guys haven't been to mayberry.info, you can head over there, and when you're there at mayberry.info, you'll see the Mayberry Facts, FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. And when you go to the frequently asked questions, there's a whole list of amazing items there that you might or might not be interested in or might not know. But if you don't know, they're great. So tonight we're going to be going through the locations portion of that. Now, granted, you can go over there and read this anytime you'd like. It's always there. But most people don't. And I know that because I get emails all the time asking me these exact same questions. And one of these is... I think a pretty neat answer, but it's the last one we're going to get to. So we're going to listen to, we're going to go through the locations, and I've got some voicemail feedback coming in from a couple of people. So I hope you're going to enjoy this. So let's head on over to the Mayberry Facts, and we'll talk about locations. Let's see here. So let me give you the first one. It says, please settle for me once and for all. Where exactly the lake used on the Andy Griffith Show is located? Is it in California or North Carolina? Where is it? That's the question. So I get this question a lot. So let me explain it to you. Of course, the answer is, of course, it's in Mayberry. That's not satisfying at all, is it? The lake is in Mayberry. It's actually not. It's actually the lake was used is in California. And we've talked about it before on the podcast. You can go there. We've had people go. It's in the heart of Los Angeles, as a matter of fact. It's in the Franklin Canyon area, just north of Beverly Hills. You head south on Franklin Canyon Drive in Mulholland. There's a sign leading to the lake that says the road ends in 800 feet, but it really doesn't. It doesn't. So if you're going there, don't panic if it says the road's fixing to end, because it doesn't. Just follow the road to what is now a quiet, little used park. It's a nature area, really, is what it is. And you'll be able to recognize several landmarks if you just go around there. Such as the road and the railing that are next to the lake. You'll see those. That's where Andy and Andy stopped in the return to Mayberry. The lake itself, though, it does appear quite a bit different than it did, 50 years ago? It says 30 in the facts, but I must have written this a few years back. The accumulation of sediment and the encroachment of vegetation have changed the shoreline that's around Myers Lake, Franklin Canyon Reservoir. It's the upper reservoir, by the way. It's changed it over the years. There's no doubt that Mayberry fans may have contributed a few thousand small rocks over the years to the lake, throwing them in like Opie. That has changed it. And there's several ways you can see this, but it's Myers Lake. And it's actually Franklin Canyon Reservoir. It's the upper reservoir of Franklin Canyon. There's a lot of information out there. If you're looking for that, I'll try to put a link in the show notes. I'll try to remember about how to find Franklin Canyon, because we've had people call in and report back from being at Myers Lake at Franklin Canyon and what an experience it was. So that's the answer. The question is, where was it located? Was it in North Carolina, California? Where was it? It's in California. California. All right. So next up, we've got, let's see. I've always been curious if there was a city map of Mayberry, one that might show the layout of Main Street as far as where the hotel, Walker's Drugstore, Weaver's and Crowley's Markets and those other places around town, where they're located in relation to the courthouse. Well, because the sets on the show changed over the years, you won't be able to find a definitive map of the layout of Mayberry. But you'll probably find pretty much what you're looking for in Steve Spaginski's encyclopedic book called Mayberry, My Hometown. He put together a computer-generated layout of the town based on several episodes with lots of shots around the town where he had taken that. Steve included blueprints, including placement of furniture and stuff like that, of key buildings like the Taylor's House and the courthouse. Now, this book is hard to find anymore. I don't know if you can find it, but you can get on eBay or somewhere, you might find it. For a generalized view of the geography of Mayberry County, you might look what that might look like. It's based on things said and maps around the courthouse and actual North Carolina geography. You can look in Beck and Clark's, Ken Beck and Jim Clark's book, the Andy Griffith Show book is what it's called. It includes a county map rendering that may be useful to you. And, say we just happen to carry both these books at Weaver's, by the way, at least that one. The Andy Griffith Show book by Jim Clark and Ken Beck, or Ken Beck and Jim Clark, whichever way you want to read it, is at Weaver's Department Store. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. You can get there. You can also check out these great maps. There's some great maps at imayberry.com that you can check out. If you go over to imayberry.com, they're there. There's a map of Mayberry County. And one, it was done by Jack Fellinger, who did that one. It's a really nice map. It's a big map. You can actually see most everything around Mayberry right there on that map. And Jack did a great job. There's also a blueprint of the Mayberry Courthouse. Now, this was something actually that yours truly, I did several years ago. And it's a courthouse layout for the entire courthouse. Now, it is based on, again, information gathered from watching the episodes and then using a CAD program to try to actually draw the building. Got to remember, please cover your ears and don't be upset with me. The Andy Griffith Show is not real. So the courthouse was not a real building. So they weren't constrained by the actual sizes of the building and what they were trying to show. So if you look at the blueprint of the courthouse that I made, there's a stairwell in the back there. If you went to the back room where Barney and Floyd and Goober were back there trying to conjure Count Isvantalecki, and then you went out the courthouse door, you went around back, there's a door there to go upstairs to the mayor's office. Because we know there's an upstairs, but you ever wonder where the stairwell was? I did. I always wondered, where's the stairs? So I made up a place for the stairs. And so if you just check that out, that is a possibility, I guess, of what it could be. And also in there is an amazingly good map made by Jimmy Dean that is of the city of Mayberry. So you can check that out, too. It's really nice. He did his best to draw out all the locations so that you could see the different places in there. And there is a index for that city map showing you Courthouse Floyd's, it shows you where they would be all the way up to Otis's house, Wally's, the doctor's office, all that kind of information. So you can go and check that out at imayberry.com, and we'll put a link in the show notes for all this information. So if you're enjoying that. But it's a really nice map, so if you're interested in that kind of thing, it will be there. All right, has anybody ever figured out where Mayberry would be located geographically? Well, we already know it's North Carolina, but it says it's impossible to pinpoint precisely since the writers were not always consistent. But here are some clues, and this is by our friend Paul Mulick, who sent this in. He says, number one, in Barney and Thumaloo, that one, it's puth, but I think you go like that. Anyway, it says, Barney says it's 12 miles to Mount Pilot, and the fictional Mount Pilot is presumably in the same place as the real town, Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Okay, so it's 12 miles to Pilot Mountain or Mount Pilot. In number two, it says, in the Luck of Newton Monroe, Goober says it's 60 miles to Raleigh. So it's 60 miles to Raleigh. All right. In Andy's Rich Girlfriend, Barney says it's 55 miles to the Capitol. So, you know, it's kind of close, 55, 60 miles. Okay, number three. In the Rehabilitation of Otis and in the Battle of Mayberry, Mayberry is said to be in the northern part of the state. So, by consulting a map of North Carolina and using these clues, it's possible to get a pretty good idea of where Mayberry is located. And it's pretty much roughly in the same general geographic location as Mount Airy, North Carolina, Andy's hometown. So it'd be easy just to say it was Mayberry is Mount Airy, North Carolina. So let's just go with that because I like that because that's where Mayberry Days is. And that's where we get to go. All right. So next up, we just heard this a second ago. How far is it to Mount Pilot? I've heard it's 12 miles. And I've also heard it's an hour away. So here's another answer from our friend Paul Mulick. He says, that's one of those little inconsistencies and glitches. There are so many different writers over the years, or there were, that it's difficult, if not impossible, for them to know what some other writer may have already established in an earlier episode. The mistakes would never have been noticed during the show's original run when it's, and it was possible to watch just one episode a week. Not like it is now where you can watch them every day, two or three times. But back then it was only possible to watch one episode a week. So back then, bloopers were a lot harder to spot than they are nowadays. And what with reruns and videotapes and DVDs and everything, in episode 90, Andy says the drive takes about an hour. It takes Mrs. Lash, by the way, 4 hours. Later, in episode 124, Barney says it's 12 miles. Both could be correct if it's a really, really bad road. It might take an hour to drive 12 miles. It might. It could. Could take an hour. If you're, I don't know, walking, maybe? I don't know. Let's see, you can walk 3 miles an hour. So I don't know. You go a little faster than walking. So if you're going pretty slow, it could take an hour. So let's just say maybe the Robert E. Lee Natural Bridge was washed out at the time. So it's going to take an hour to get there that time. So, all right. Next question. What's the deal? Either there is more than one house with a tree stump in front of it in the front yard, or that house keeps moving around. That's the question. All right, the house in question was used over and over and over in numerous episodes of The Andy Griffith Show. Now, you guys, I don't know if you'll remember this, but we'll go through it. But it's a house. There's a stump in the front. The easiest one for me to remember is when Romina was trying to find Mr. Gossage, Oliver, after Oliver got thrown out of Mrs. Wiley's tea party. You remember that? They were out in front of the houses and they started running around and jumping and all that. And they jumped over this stump. Okay. That's the one they're talking about. It says, they had one residential set, one street set on the back lot there where they found the Andy Griffith Show. And they used that for every time a script called for a house. Andy's house was fifth from the corner, by the way. The house in question was Floyd's house in Divorce Mountain Style on that episode. That was when Barney came riding up in the front yard, riding a horse. And Floyd goes, "Hey, Barney, you're on a horse. I wouldn't have said anything. I just wasn't expecting it." So that gets cut a lot. You may not have seen that. A great scene. It was also Wally's house in Man in a Hurry. And it seemed like a different person lived in that house every episode. Of course, the other houses on the block were the same way, except for Andy's house. About that stump, for the first couple of seasons, there was a whole tree there. It had always had to serve, it always had a severe lean to it. Apparently, it finally either fell down or they had to cut it down out of fear of it falling on something. Anyway, so that's why it became a stump. So watch for that. Watch for that in episodes coming up. So watch for the stump. It's not Mr. Stump. It's just a stump, but it's still a mystery. The mystery of Mr. Stump, not Swamp. All right. Next question. We're almost finished. There's only two more. And this one's a short answer. Okay. And let's see if I can say the name right, because I always get this wrong. Where was the TV movie Return to Mayberry filmed? It was filmed the town of Mayberry. The outside was filmed in Los Alamos. I hope I said it right. California. Los Alamos. I think I said it right. It's a suburb of Santa Barbara, California. It was filmed in May 1986. So that's when it was filmed. All right. So now to our last answer and question and answer. And this answer, most of these other answers have come from Paul Mulick, our buddy. Paul, thank you very much, Paul. He's got a voicemail coming in a minute, by the way. But this one I don't want to say it's more special. Sorry, Paul. But this one comes from the writer, Harvey Bullock himself, answering the question. He wrote to me and gave me this answer. So here's the question. Was the reference to Saberton, S-A-B-E-R-T-O-N, Saberton, I'm sorry, Saberton, in the episode The Pageant, a nod to the suburb of Morgantown, Virginia? Okay, so remember Don Knotts was from Morgantown. Teresa West quotes a line in the Pageant episode. This is from Harvey Bullock, by the way, the answer. This is coming from Harvey, a writer for the Andy Griffith Show. Teresa West quotes a line in the Pageant episode wherein Barney says that Clara Edwards won't be able to portray her usual starring role in the annual upcoming town pageant because she had to go to Saberton to attend to her sick sister. Teresa asked if I wrote that little factoid in the script, knowing that Saberton was a suburb of Morgantown, West Virginia, Don Knotts' hometown, or was it just a coincidence? Well, I checked my script copy, and on page 12, Barney says her sister took sick over in Mebane. I don't know how you say it. Mebane. It's anyway, Mebane, Saberton. Okay. Could she have been stricken in a mobile hospital? That's what Harvey said. My creaky memory came briefly to life, and I remember writing Mebane. I don't know how you say it. I should have looked that up. It's a small town in North Carolina, which had popped into my mind because it was the hometown of Rusty, a classmate who roomed across the hall from me during my freshman year, the fall of 1939, at Duke University, and unceasingly described it as the fried chicken capital of the known universe. So how did the name become Saberton? I reckon there was a little friendly change made on the set, and Saberton beat out Mebane. I'm sorry, I don't know how to say your city's name. Somebody will call me. Chicken wings and all. Writers often use names of real people and places similar or familiar to them. It was fast, convenient, and it was kind of fun. The legal department would in turn change the name again if it thought it was so unique that it could refer to only one person, who might then declare an invasion of privacy or, you know, habeas corpus or whatever. For a short while, writer Jack Ellison and I maintained an underground defamation duel, not on the Andy Griffith Show. I would use Jack's name when a despicable rogue showed up in my script, and he would counter using my name on equally dastardly wretches in his. On One Day at a Time, the TV show, Jack had Bonnie Franklin make a list of the most boring states she ever had. Bonnie Franklin was the main character on One Day at a Time. Guess whose name led it? RV Bullock. That was our most boring date ever. What the heck? It's a break from staring at the ceiling and searching for an ever elusive story bug. Best of all, Harvey Bullock. So there you go. If I could read better, it would sound better. But that was from Harvey Bullock. Thank you, my goodness, Harvey. We miss you so much. Harvey wrote in so often when he was still living to the Who's Been Messing Up the Bulletin Board Digest and would give answers like that because he just read that on the daily newsletter, email newsletter that goes out and took time to answer the question. Harvey was an amazing guy. Thank you to Paul as well for all his dedication. And I don't want to diss Paul. So anyway, all right. So let's, as we speak of Paul, let's head over and hear from some of these guys. Let's hear first. I think we'll hear from Paul first. So Paul wrote into us or called into us, and he was talking about a character episode number 398, and it was characters, just the fact. Okay, so just the facts. So this is Paul correcting me or adding to what I said. So, Paul, take it away.
Hey, Alan, it's Paul Mulich calling in again. I just had a few comments on your recent episode. I always enjoy them very much. The character Glenn Kripe, and it is Kripe with no S. The actor's name was pronounced DeLoss. I remember seeing an interview years ago with Andy, and he said he couldn't remember the name except DeLoss was the only part he could remember. Also, I wanted to comment that the character Bernard Fox played in that old Titanic movie, he played the lookout of the Titanic, whose name in real life was Frederick Fleet. And I have no evidence of it, but I've always kind of wondered if the character Freddie Fleet, the band leader, was named after the real Frederick Fleet. We'll probably never know. Anyway, 10-4, keep up the good work. Sorry, I already 10-4'd you. Bye.
Thank you, Paul. Freddie Fleet. How could I have forgotten that? That was the character's name that he played in the Titanic movie. Wow. So there you go. Thank you again, Paul. Thanks for taking time to write in and fix my pronunciations and add that little bit of trivial facts. That was from episode number 398, Characters, Just the Facts. So if you're enjoying these Just the Facts episode, there is an entire list of them. If you go and look at the website, as you go there, there's a link down at the bottom that actually, if you scroll down that thing, it says tagged as FAQ. If you click that, you will see all of them, which includes the characters, Just the Fact, 391, Aunt B, Just the Fact. And if you keep going down the page, you'll see even more. There's 183 was Andy, just the Facts, and 179 was Barney, Just the Facts. So if you're enjoying these Mayberry Facts, you can pick out those episodes and carry them around with you so you can get smarter. All right. So we've got two more pieces of voicemail from the same person. Now, in the first one, her name's Jennifer. She calls in for about episode number 396, and it gets cut off right at the end because it can only record a minute and a half. But let's hear from Jennifer. Here you go, Jennifer. This is her first one from talking about episode 396.
Oh my gosh, Alan, period. Thank you so much for episode 396, Mayberry Days 2016. I remember when you got to episode 249 and you wondered if you would keep going because there were only 249 episodes of the show. And here you are, my gosh. I have a lot to say about this. I was so thrilled to see you invite us through pictures to Mayberry Days 2016. It was an awesome experience. Also, I have to comment because I'm a northern girl and you guys are southerners. And every time I heard picture made, it made me kind of cringe because we say picture taken. We get our picture taken with people. We don't get our picture made. And there was another southern expression, which I can't remember right now. But every time I listen to your podcast, I hear southern expressions that just made me go, wow. You know, I guess I really am in another world. I'm in Toledo, Ohio, which is on the border of Michigan. I live an hour from Canada. So I'm really a northern watcher. And so those kind of, and probably a mainstream sort of middle America.
So I cut her off, a middle America person. So thank you, Jennifer, for taking time to call in about that. That's, you know, I never thought about that. Picture taken, picture made. We say taken too, have your picture taken. We said that too. But we also say, have your picture made. I didn't realize particularly that that was a southern saying. The other thing we say all the time is fixing. We're fixing to go do something. We're fixing to go. You going to go with us? You're fixing. Yeah, we're fixing to go. So I had some northern people give me a hard time about that before, about what have you got to fix? What have you got to fix before you go? So completely true, at least for Alabama, where I'm from, that is normal to say you're going to have a picture made. Going to school, get my picture made. Picture day. It's picture day. Getting my picture made today. That's what you'll say. So Jennifer, thanks. And Jennifer called in again because this was only her first feedback. She gave me one more where she called in talking about the Who Stole My Golden Arm episode I did a few weeks ago. I really enjoyed that episode. That was a lot of fun for me. So I'm glad she enjoyed it. So here's what she had to say.
Alan, I want to thank you so much for this Halloween treat of Who Stole My Golden Arm, part number two. I didn't hear the caveat that it should be watched rather than just listened to, because it definitely should be watched and not just listened to. I actually turned all the lights off, lit a candle, and made you full screen. And it was really neat to watch because your head seemed to be kind of floating in space. And you had that evil laugh at the end. It was just great. A great Halloween treat. Thanks for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I really enjoyed doing that episode. It was fun. It was fun. As I think I mentioned, I was able to show that on the Mayberry Cruise we just had. And it was fun to be able to watch the audience kind of jump when I got that. I did the end, and they were watching the video in that one. So, Jennifer, thank you so much for calling. I really do appreciate you. And I'm glad we got people up in the north. We got people up in the northern people watching us, and a lady. I don't know how many women actually watch the podcast or listen to the podcast. According to YouTube, where the videos are, the woman to man ratio is like 30% to 70% to men, 70% men. Now, I did think, you know, it's completely true that when you see my head floating around there, that is scary, especially if you blow it up full screen on a big TV. That would scare you. So, folks, hey, I want to thank you again for being here with us. Every week we have a lot of fun here in Mayberry, and I hope you do. I'd love to hear from you, like I heard from Paul and Jennifer. Give me a call at 888-684-8415. Or if you're over at the website, you can just click the little link there on the side that says leave a voicemail. And if you have a microphone stuff, it'll record your voice talking to me. You can also email me anything you'd like to do to communicate with me. I love to hear from you. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next time right here on Two Chairs No Waiting.